Welcome to From the Outside Looking In with your hosts, Patrick Vanis and Andy Liaskos. Come on in. Welcome back once again to the show that is all about piano tuning. That's right, it's called Tuna Time. And we talk about how you can properly tune your piano, why it's important to tune your piano, especially with a traditional 88-key piano. Some pianos get so far whacked out of tune, right, that you can't tune it to natural C, but it's still important to tune the piano to itself, right? So
I like to tune with a tuning fork, but typically just a fork.
Yes, right, exactly. A tuning fork is much better than a tuning chopsticks.
True.
And that is a piano joke, and that's our show.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome to From the Outside Looking In, the show about everything, the show about nothing, the show where Pat and I take a geeky look at non-geek culture or a non-geek look at, I don't know, we like sports, we like comic books, we like vinyl records now. That's a thing we talk about. We talk about all of these things, and you get to listen to us wax poetically about this. I am Andy Liaskos. With me, as always, the Ulf Anderson to my Ole Anderson, Mr.
Patrick made us in the worst analogy of all, or not even analogy, but the worst of all time, the Ulf Samuelson to my Ole Anderson.
Yeah.
You can think of literally any other hockey player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't know where to go with that. I could have threw out like a Demetrius Kasparaitis, right?
Well, who all did Ulf play for? Did he play for the Flyers or the Pens? I think he played for one of those teams.
He played for the Gwins, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, then I would just maybe Paul Coffey or.
Well, I went with Kasparaitis because Kasparaitis also played for the Gwins.
Yeah, those are the two gooniest goons that were on.
Two goon defensemen for no reason on the Gwins, right?
So the two gooniest goons who ever gooned it up in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, and if you're not who's part of my favorite feud ever? It was Matthias Odelein from the Colorado Avalanche and Matthew Barnaby when he was on the Gwins. Like, they hated each other, and it is one of the most insane feuds ever.
Awesome.
So somebody should make a 30 for 30 on just that season, right, leading up to the Stanley Cup and the Matthias Odelein versus Matthew Barnaby.
I'm wearing my St. Pat's Lucky Flyers t-shirt, but it didn't work.
Bro, we're 3 games into the playoffs now.
Yeah, we're 3 games into the playoffs. The Flyers didn't even make it. Yeah,
the Flyers shit the bed so fucking hard.
Yeah, okay? You know what?
Not only did the Flyers shit the bed for themselves, they took down 2 other teams.
That's the best part, too. To be honest, that is the best part.
I would have pegged them to be
in the playoffs.
I would have enjoyed a little Patrick Kane playoff action right now. If the fucking Flyers had not pulled their goalie, we would be fucking in that.
That's a great story. Have you heard this story? This is a phenomenal story. So, number one, the Flyers were not a playoff team this year. They were not supposed to make the playoffs. Nobody predicted them to be in the playoffs. They just overachieved. They're a young team. They overachieved a little bit. Great. So they get into this game with the Caps. It's like their last game of the season. I think they were down a goal.
Well, yeah, and no. So,
Or they tied. I forget what it was, but so
they were tied and late.
Tortorella pulls the. They're like 3 minutes left in the game.
It's 2-1 at this point. Yeah.
So he pulls the goalie because he doesn't know that like there the was enough. I forget what was the result.
So basically, in order for the Flyers to make the playoffs, they had to beat Washington, right? In regulation, a condition of that, besides having to beat Washington in regulation, they needed Detroit to lose in regulation as well, right?
Yeah, I think they were playing the Islanders or something.
Detroit was playing the Canadians.
They had a home and home with Montreal to end the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, It was a crazy, crazy series of events, right? So Detroit basically either needed to win the game against Montreal, right, in any method, right, and have the Caps get one or less points, right? So go to overtime and lose. If they lost in regulation, it would have been fine, right? Or Detroit could win the game, and as long as the Caps, I forget, the Caps
probably lose in regulation.
No. The Caps had to lose in overtime. The Caps had to walk away with one or less point.
Yeah.
Right. So they either had to lose, or they had to lose in overtime, or lose in the shootout. Right.
Yeah. So there's like 3 minutes left in this game. Tortorella pulls the goalie because he's like, we desperately need to win this in regulation because we need all the points. And he doesn't know
that Detroit's already won. They had tied the game and pushed it to overtime because Philadelphia needed Detroit to lose in regulation to not get a point. Otherwise they would have tied. Right. So basically Torts pulls the goalie with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left and loses the game,
which is whatever. I mean, if they don't win in regulation, like if they don't win straight up, there's no window for the Flyers to get in.
At this point, there was no getting in. And it was 1-1 tie, right? So Torts pulls the goalie because he had to win in regulation.
Right, he had to win in regulation. So he did what he had to do.
Except
they just
if they would have had a fucking iPad on the bench.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. It's the last game of their season. What's he going to do? Not pull the goalie? They're down a goal. They have to win anyway.
But at that point, it didn't matter if they would have won in regulation, won in overtime, or anything, because the Red Wings had already gone to overtime. The Red Wings had already secured themselves a point. So Philadelphia was out.
I don't think that makes that much difference during like a game that one of his assistants is on an iPad watching the results come in. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, so, of course. Cause then at least now you're playing instead of, you know, you have no chance of making the playoffs. Right.
Right. So it doesn't matter.
So now why not just give the home fans a final victory of the year?
Right. Just win the game.
So just win the game. Play the best game. Give the home fans, right? Because now you're not playing for a playoff spot anymore. Yeah. You have no chance of the playoffs.
But they were down 2-1, weren't they?
No, so, it was 1-1.
They were up 2-1. Oh, it was 1-1. Okay, 1-1. It was 1-1.
Yeah, if they were up 2-1.
He would have pulled the goalie.
If they were up 2-1 and they pulled the goalie, Torts needs to be fired. Yeah,
they give up like the losing goal with the goalie pulled, which is like whatever. And also playing and then not pulling the goalie and playing for overtime, whatever, man. It's the last game of the season. Nobody cares if you go to overtime. Just try to win the game in regulation.
Everybody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
It was so fucking you don't pull the goalie when you're tied, right? Unless you have to win in regulation. You still have a chance of winning giving the fans a final victory. So, you know?
Whatever. So it's
final stick raise. It was a mistake. It was a stupid mistake.
But it takes, so not only do like the Flyers get knocked out, which they didn't really have a chance at the way that they were playing. I think they were like winless in like 8 of their last 9 games. So it really didn't make a difference anyway. They had,
well,
you know,
I mean, you got, they were on a skid. Carter Hart is out, right? Because
he'll never play. He'll probably charges. Never play again because of like some because of a rape charge in Canada.
Yes.
Because he got not yet rooted.
It's not been made yet. But like he maybe got a little rapey when he was younger.
So he wasn't the only one apparently. So
five dudes, right?
Yeah. Five dudes from like the Canadian national team or whatever, like got caught up in this stuff. So like whatever. So they lose. They drag the Pens. They drag the Penguins down with them, which is great because, like the weekend before, I had to hear like Penguins fans call out of the woodwork, like the cockroaches that they are. Finally, because they see a little bit of like daylight that the Pens could actually make the playoffs, and now they're all like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna make the playoffs," and yeah, and f this, you know, f the Flyers, and they're like, they finally like remembered that like they had a smidgen of a chance. So they came out of the woodwork to like talk smack, and then they got like dropped out of the playoffs too. So it was like, you know, whatever. Flyers weren't good enough to they weren't going to be good enough. They were going to get swept by who were they going to play? Carolina, but
no, the Rangers. Just like fucking Washington's getting just fucking destroyed by the Rangers.
You know
they'd
what?
Get destroyed by the Rangers too.
They would probably lose in five to the Rangers. They would get at least a game out of that.
They'd get swept for sure.
I don't know. They played the Rangers pretty competitively this season, but still, if I had to pick a team that was going to win it this year, it would probably be the Rangers. They're pretty good.
The way the Rangers are playing right now, with like fucking Breadman fucking throwing hip checks and shit, like I don't know if the Flyers, the Red Wings, or
I think whoever wins the Eastern Conference Final is probably going to be the team that wins the Stanley Cup.
I don't know about that either.
Carolina looks really good too. I mean,
Carolina looks really good, but like almost every team in the West is better than the two wild cards, right? That wound up making it from the East. Like all of them have better records. The East is so fucking weak outside of like New York and Carolina. Like, who else is there? I mean, the Panthers are decent, right? Tampa's lost.
It's just Florida and the Rangers. That's it.
Yeah. The Hurricanes are decent. They're better than decent. They're super good.
I'm sorry. Carolina, but Carolina is good. Carolina, Florida, and the Rangers are the three good teams out of that. Nobody else is. Toronto, no.
Yeah, Toronto. I mean, Boston's okay, you know, but like
they're overachieving.
But like, the Stanley Cup winner's definitely coming from the West, for sure.
Ooh,
yeah, 100%. Fucking, what about fucking the Vegas Golden Knights and their Mark Stone bullshit?
I don't know about that. What is that?
So they put Mark Stone on temporary, like long term IR, right? Okay. Removed him from their cap space. Acquired a couple of other fucking really good players before the trade deadline. And then like 2 days before the playoffs, Mark Stone's like, hallelujah. And now I'm healed. And then they fucking squeak in as a wild card. And now they're fucking up 2-0 over first place Dallas.
That gets nothing but good vibes.
I'm a low-key
Golden Knights fan, so like I'm totally for it. And plus they're gonna pummel Dallas like they did again last year. Yeah, the series I was at. Yeah, for sure.
All the Western Conference games have been pretty fucking good. The Winnipeg Avalanche series is fucking nuts. I have not watched any of the Kings Oilers series because it's on at like 11:30 at night.
Oh, I know, they're so late.
Some bullshit like that. The Preds, and who are the Preds playing? The Preds are playing the other first place team. Who the fuck's the other first place team? Vancouver. Yeah. That's a great series too. So I am predicting either, I would like to see whoever wins the Winnipeg Colorado series but I feel like whoever gets out of that series alive is going to be absolutely dead in the second round, right? Like that's going to be fucking 6-7 hard ass fucking games. And then they'll go on play whoever.
Yeah, that Winnipeg Colorado series is definitely going to go 7. I think that's got 7 written all over it.
Yeah, but I'd like to see Vancouver take it. Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of good young players and all of that. And also fucking 2024, rip to the Arizona Coyotes, no longer an NHL franchise.
Was that what they were calling them? Arizona? They weren't calling Phoenix anymore?
No, yeah, because they weren't in Phoenix. They're in Scottsdale. Oh, yeah, they're in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense that they'd end up in Scottsdale. God. What are they going to call them now? Are they going to call them like the Salt Lake Coyotes?
No, I don't know. They're keeping the players and all the staff, but they're not keeping the franchise history.
Which is really, there's not much to keep anyway.
I mean, you got Roenick and you got some fucking, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like you got some classic fucking Coyotes, you know, fucking, and like the Coyotes are who? They were a relocation team. They weren't an expansion team. They were a relocation team. So who are the Coyotes? Are they
probably the
Carolina is the Jets, right?
Or the old Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, they're the old Winnipeg Jets, right? Or are they what? The Whalers? No, they're the Whalers. Yeah, they're the Whalers. They're the Whalers. The Thrashers were the old Jets. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think Atlanta was the old Jets.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so Quebec was Colorado, right? The Nordiques were the Nordiques, the Colorado Avalanche were at one point the Quebec Nordiques.
Oh, the Nords. Yeah, the old Nordiques. Yeah.
Yeah, the Nordiques.
Whatever happened to the Thrashers? Did they relocate a second time?
I don't think so. I think they're fucking, they're just done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not a thing anymore.
Right. Yeah. No, but I don't think they relocated.
Okay. Okay.
I thought the Coyotes were a relocation team, but they may not be because I'm trying to think of like what other teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because like Minnesota, even though the Wild exists, right? Like the Minnesota North Stars are the Dallas Stars.
Dallas Stars, yeah.
Right. There's like so many fucking like one of the teams, like their alternative fucking uniform is like the Cleveland Barons that were like an AHL team and then had one season as an NHL team. But they had the coolest logo. They had that like fucking Mr. Peanut top hat thing, which was pretty sick.
That's the thing about a lot of the stuff that you hear now about the teams that have, I guess, I think it's stadium licenses that are coming up and like these billionaire sports team owners are like trying to bend cities over the barrel to get money to like build them new stadiums. And a lot of the cities are saying no. And it's like, well, we'll take the team somewhere. Go. Yeah. You know, like that's going to happen out here in a couple of years where like the stadium license or whatever for like the old Heinz Field is going to come up and the Rooneys are going to want Pittsburgh to like butt up for like a new stadium. And the city has no money to give them for a new stadium. And it's like, oh, well, we'll leave. Like, fuck off. These teams that is it the Rooneys?
Is that like Major League Soccer?
Who? The Steelers?
No, who are the Rooneys?
Are they
own the Steelers? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Rooneys own the Steelers. Yeah,
I feel like Pittsburgh will try to keep the Steelers. That's a fucking historic.
I mean, they will, but it's like the city is having tax revenue issues because of like everything that's happened after COVID. Like, you know,
nobody's downtown anymore.
So there's not going to be tax revenue for the city to like hand over hundreds of millions of dollars for this team to like build another stadium or, you know, make expansive renovations. And it's all going to be luxury box stuff. It's going to be stuff that common people are not going to be affording at all. Yeah,
right, for sure.
And
they should just merge the Browns and the Steelers. It's the NFL team merger.
Like, how many times can the Browns not be a thing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I love it's now
the Youngstown Brown Steelers.
Yeah. just like freaking like, you know what? Just leave. Yeah. Take the team's history, throw it in a dumpster, leave and go to another city.
You say that because you're an Eagles fan, though. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you were a Steelers fan, you would be like, no.
I say that because no taxpayer should get bent over for a billionaire pet project sports team. If you want to take the team and leave and go to another city and ruin the history of that team, do it. I want to see it.
What happened to the the days when like fucking like Mario Lemieux saved the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Lemieux didn't really save the Penguins. They had to literally give him the team because they owed him so much money.
Oh, is that really what happened?
They had to basically give him ownership of the team because they owed him money.
Like, for what?
It's not that he saved the team. They were going to move to Kansas City in what was it? What year was, oddly enough, conspiratorially enough, what year was Sidney Crosby drafted? Was that 12 or 8? No, was that 08?
Yeah, it was 08. No.
So
it may have been earlier, right? Because Crosby was first overall, right?
Yes.
So first overall 08 was like Kane, or 07 or 08 was Kane.
It was like that OV Kane.
Yeah, it's got to be like 05, 06, somewhere around there. So maybe, yeah, because OV was 04, right? And
okay,
then
okay.
Crosby is 05, right?
So the summer before that draft, there was talk of them moving the team to Kansas City because no one was going to the games because Pittsburghers are notoriously front runners. So they don't show up when the team's bad. So they were going to move the team to Kansas City.
They're fair weather fans.
They're fair weather fans. The league did not want them to move to Kansas City. Now, all of a sudden, there is a behind closed doors draft lottery, and lo and behold, the Penguins get the number one pick, which becomes Sidney Crosby. He stays, the team stays, but they had owed Mario, my understanding of it, and I could be wrong, but my understanding of it was they owed Mario Lemieux so much money that they basically had to give him part ownership of the team because they couldn't afford to do anything else because they were almost going to have to leave town.
Right.
So his name's all over a bunch of stuff. They still don't honor him with like a Mario Lemieux day out here in Pittsburgh because, you know, they just don't respect anything.
The league, the league respects the shit out of him though. Like there's some new kid that just came out. I forget what team he's on, right? But like people are pissed, right? Because there's only one number in the league that's retired, right? And that's 99, right? Or actually, okay. I think 9 might be retired. Trying to think if 9's retired,
right?
And maybe 2 is retired as well, right? Like I think like maybe Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe, like maybe their numbers are retired, and like who knows like what fucking number Rocket Richard was, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean? I was thinking. Yeah,
like maybe Richard's number's retired too, right? But like the major one that everybody knows is 99, right? Like nobody ever plays 99, right? But for a long ass time, nobody's played 66 either.
Right.
Right. And now there's some new kid coming out and he's rocking number 66. And people are like, what the fuck is this kid doing wearing 66?
Yeah. The nerve. But yeah, like, so there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of weird story there. And so, like, you know, a lot of these people don't respect him because even though, like, he, you know, they owed him so much money that they basically had to give him part ownership of the team. And now it's also owned by like, what is it? Fenway Sports Group now owns a big chunk of the Penguins.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, but go look at the draft footage from 84 when he got drafted. He was sitting in the crowd, Mario Lemieux. He was sitting in the crowd and ESPN or whoever it was that was doing the draft had to go find him in the crowd when he got drafted by the Penguins. And he was like, I don't think they respect me enough. So I'm sitting up here. Like he was like, I guess it was probably haggling for money or something like what he probably thought he should have gotten paid. You know what I mean? But sure. He was like, it was basically a negotiating ploy. He was like, I don't think they like appreciate me enough. So that's why he was sitting in the crowd. It was just like it's just hilarity. It's just like the stories are just absolute hilarity about this guy from the beginning of his career to the end of his career.
The beginning of his career is first shift, first shot, first NHL goal. Like, right. I mean, like, he's definitely fucking one of the greatest that ever played the game.
Yeah. You know, and for all the petty, like, for all the petty second sister garbage that Pittsburghers give to like Philadelphia. One of the first games back from his like chemo back in the day.
Yeah.
They were in Philly. So he does chemo, flies to Philly for a game. He gets out on the ice and everybody in the spectrum stands up and gives him a standing ovation for like a couple of minutes. He's got to like take his helmet off. He's got to like fight back some tears. It's like everybody. And there were people in the stands that had signs that was like, welcome back. Like
Super Mario. Yeah. I went to one of those games. I went to the game in Chicago when he was on his comeback tour. Yeah.
So like we get a lot of weird stick from these people because of their inferiority complex, but like,
It's because you guys throw fucking batteries at Santa. Fucking Philadelphia is the worst sports fan city in the fucking world. 100%. 100%.
Fake news.
You guys are the fucking worst. I'm not saying you're the worst sports city in the world. Fucking teams are great, but your fans are fucking terrible trash.
Just because Birds fans cheered when Michael Irvin's career was ended on our mediocre turf.
Yeah.
Or below par turf.
I mean, every time you go to a game and whatever fucking Philadelphia team you're going to see, there's a chance that you got to grease the poles after you guys fucking win. It's not, you guys are the absolute most savage, worst fans. Maybe the Browns.
You could have stopped at most savage.
No, you guys are terrible. Maybe the Browns have you beat because, like, the Browns, you can't buy beer after, like, halftime, right? Because, like, they just fucking started a tradition where they were throwing fucking bottles on the field at the teams, right? Yeah, so they're like, yeah, you guys are cut off. You guys can't have any more fucking beer because this is what happens, right? So I went to a game in, like, third quarter. I was like, I'm going to go get a beer. And they're like, yeah, no, we stopped. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You stopped. How do you?
So great. It's so great.
I mean, I'm just like, what the? Yeah, you guys. Yeah. So besides the Browns, you guys are the absolute fucking worst.
I'll take your Philadelphia sports fans and I will raise you most, I would say, Turkish or Italian football fans who are some of the most scummy and racist fans out there. I will raise you them for the win, no doubt.
I thought you were just going to stop at Turks and Italians, right? Like, like not even specify like football fans, right? Like you're just going to be like, all right, Philly sports fans, but what about Mexicans? And then you just stop. Just real racist with it.
Yeah. We wouldn't. I'll tell you what,
Bill Burr never did 11 minutes on how shitty Turkish sports fans were. I'll tell you that much.
There you go.
Yeah. He did do 11 minutes in Philly about how shitty Philly is.
Oh, man, he went off and it actually didn't sound good. It just sounded like he was trying. He was just mad they weren't laughing at him or something. They weren't laughing.
No,
for him.
They were, as usual, Philly, a Philly audience, shock, was like being disrespectful and like booing comedians. Right. Because, you know, fucking Philly, you know,
come harder.
I don't, yeah. So yeah, Bill Burr roasted the entire city for 11 minutes. It's one of the greatest things ever. Just look up Bill Burr roasts Philadelphia, and he's just like, "Fuck you and your one bridge having like ass town."
My routine isn't working. I've got to switch it up and just I got to go ham on the city.
He didn't even do a routine. He came out. It was massive applause. It was an Opie and Anthony fucking comedy special. It was 3 hours in to the special, and he just watched like Dom Carrera get fucking booed and shit like that.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. He was so mad that they booed Dom Carrera.
He came out and just flamethrowed the entire audience. Didn't tell a single fucking joke. Just came out and just shat all over him. It was one of the greatest things ever. Yeah, Philly's a cool city, but also fuck Philly. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are fucking idiots. Yeah.
Savage.
Nah,
we're savage.
Yeah, yeah.
You said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you Delco super savage or just fucking idiots, right? You know what I mean?
Moving on.
Dumb. Fucking dumbass Rocky statue. I just like Bill Burr said, Joe Frazier's literally from Philadelphia and you have a goddamn fucking Rocky statue.
make a movie.
Yeah, yeah, no. So I think he could win this time. All right. Oh, God. What the? All right. So, yeah. So NHL, Western Conference. That's my prediction.
All right.
I could see the Rangers doing it, too, right? But, you know, hey, once you get to the Stanley Cup final, anything could happen. NFL draft's going on.
Yeah, the longest NFL draft in history.
It's like 7 days long. Why the fuck do they start it on like a Thursday? You know what I mean?
Because it has to go for it. Because they take so long between picks. It takes literally four days.
But seriously, who the fuck cares? By the time you get to the seventh round, right? You know what I mean? Which is like what tomorrow is.
By the time you get to the third round, let's be honest.
Yeah, what is it? It's tomorrow. The first weekend day of the fucking draft is like the fourth round or something. Like, nobody gives a shit about the fucking fifth line kicker fucking people are drafting. Nobody cares.
We were talking about this last night after playing golf. Like, I was like, oh, man. Eagles pick 22nd. What's that going to be like? When do you think they're going to pick? Like 9 o'clock? And the guys were like, everybody was like, no, are you kidding me? It's going to be so much later. 10:30, 11:30. It's going to be so late. I don't even know what time it was that they finally got to the Eagles pick. But I know I went to bed at a reasonable time last night, and the Eagles still had not picked yet. And I was just like, this is insane. Also, Eagles took, at 22, the best cornerback on the board. Can't be mad at that.
The best quarterback left
corner,
on the board.
Corner.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? The Bears with their number one pick took fucking Caleb.
One of the most overrated quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Since this side of Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. I mean, we'll I don't know. We'll see, right? Like,
At least he's got guys to throw to.
I don't think he's that much better than Fields. You know what I mean?
No. I really don't. I just think they wouldn't commit to building a good offense around Fields. And then they were all like, oh, this guy's terrible. But Caleb Williams has shown so little. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah, but yeah. Okay. I mean, and then he transferred to USC and he was super mid at USC.
Well, he threw for what? 52 touchdown passes. Like that's not mid.
What are they? They were terrible. USC was awful. Dude, what, they win six games?
No, I don't think so. Pretty sure
it wasn't that good.
No, he's got like 52 fucking touchdown passes. Like he's got, besides the Heisman, he's got the other largest fucking whatever college quarterback fucking award that is. I forget what that one's called, but he's got that one too.
Caleb Williams breaks Caitlin Clark merch record. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Fucking the WNBA had its moment for one day. And then everybody was like, no, Caleb Williams time, baby.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't, you know, that's fine. I just, you know, I don't know. I'm not totally sold on the guy, so. But that's just me. Or is it? Moving on.
I'm not 100% sold on Caleb Williams or anything that the Bears front office does. But, you know, we got to have this moment of being excited.
Yeah,
you know, if we don't have these moments, what do we have?
Yeah, true.
All right.
All out.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support.
I'll allow it.
All right, what do we got?
I'm just looking at something here.
What do we got next? What do we got next here?
He threw 42 touchdowns 2 years ago. Last year, he threw 30.
Yeah. I mean, that's a shit ton of fucking touchdowns.
I don't know. I guess you throw 30 into pros, it's kind of mid.
I don't think that's mid at all. Like fucking 30 in a season.
That's like 2025. Once you get in that, there's a lot of guys that are like 20 and 25 and 12 picks or whatever, and they're like, oh, these guys are, you know, whatever.
You mean to tell me that you think middle of the pack is a NFL quarterback throwing 2 touchdowns per game?
Yeah.
You are out of your fucking mind. We're not even talking hockey, but still, we're talking about throwing touchdowns, not fucking rushing touchdowns. I know the new NFL is soft, and there's not as many fucking rush.
Super soft.
Yes, super soft. New NFL, super soft. It's basically soccer.
Wow. No, you're right. Jeez, it was super. Oh, my God. The league was so mid last year. The league leader in touchdowns last year was 36.
Yeah, and you're talking 30s fucking mid. Yeah, I told you. I fucking told you.
That's terrible. Oh, man. What kind of a league is this now?
It's the National Football League, bud.
Jeez.
Like, I'm telling you. And, like, and if those in those listening at home, if you haven't noticed, we're throwing out new terms like mid to catch the younger audience, right?
Hello, fellow Zennials.
Yes, no cap. Yeah.
All right, we're moving on.
I'm telling you, 30 touchdowns is not mid.
I can't believe that's what led the league.
No
last
cap.
Year. That's so
on God. Yeah. On God.
Oh God. Oh, anyway. Did you know
there is a fellow children?
Did you know, for the kids that don't collect comic books anymore, that there is a new most expensive comic book ever?
Action Comics number one.
True, at an auction on April the 4th, actually, pretty nice copy of Action Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman, sold at auction for $6 million.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
That is just, wow. I mean,
have you ever read that issue?
No.
It's an absolute piece of shit. It's the first appearance of Superman, of course, right? Like, it's, but it's such a bad fucking comic. It is so, so bad. Right. There's no story. It's just Superman flying around fucking saving people from driving off a cliff and shit. Like, it's just not good.
Yeah. He goes around doing one-offs. I saved one car from falling off. This one guy jumped off a bike, saved him. Yeah. This one dog, I saved him. Yeah, but this is a CGC 8.5. Off-white
which
white pages. It's a really nice copy.
I mean, for that, for an Action Comics number one and 8.5.
I mean, for a lot of like for comics in the '30s and forties, which were like some of those were kind of like magazine size, like they were like husky comics. Yeah. Like for some of those to be in good, like it's hard to find those, especially like a lot of old DC comics. It's hard to find them in really high grade. So. Yes. To find that, this was part of the Kansas City pedigree, which is like a really high quality collection. So it got, you know, it gets its own special label anyway because it's a pedigree. Pretty awesome stuff. I'm glad to see it. That you know, comics are still a thing. I'm curious who bought it. It was probably some investment banker, or some garbage or something like that that could shell out $6 million for a comic book.
Oh yeah, for sure, 100%.
Little Zeno.
It wasn't. Who do you think it would be? Like some fucking somebody that owns a comic book shop, somebody that's really passionate about it. No, it's obviously some fucking hedge fund, fucking money managers. You know, like that's
guy who provides no value to society.
The same people that buy $50,000 guitars, right? They're just fucking lawyers and doctors. And right, like, and hey, that's fine. Good for them. You know what I mean?
Hey, joke's on him. No cap. Kids don't buy comic books. Is that how you use that? I don't even know.
I think so. Yeah, on God. Yeah, on God.
Yeah. Oh, crap. That's so good. Being that we're recording in an afternoon, just a random weekday afternoon, I'm just drinking a cup of cold coffee.
I'm still having a soda. Right. Yeah, I mean, I just take a little lunch. It's been a while since we recorded, so we wanted to get this episode in. Here's a fun thing to do for next episode, right? Like, I think we're going to have a short little mixed media moment here in a second. And Patrick's going to talk about Flash because fucking spoiler alerts. I didn't fucking watch any of it. But I'm still gonna, on God, I didn't watch that. But hey, there's some cool things out there right now. There's like fucking Shogun, and Bad Batch still has a few more episodes, and I've been watching.
Has a few more episodes left.
It's got to fucking end the story. And then X-Men 97, and then Fallout, right? And then I think sometime in May, like fucking Shoresy season 3 is coming out, which is awesome. Why don't we talk next episode? You guys suggest what we should talk about. Should we talk about Shogun or should we talk about Fallout? And by you guys, it's probably going to be Sweet Lou just fucking texting us which one. But we want to hear from you and your opinion. Which of these two topics should we cover on the next show? Shogun or Fallout?
Yeah, Frenchie, pick the thing I definitely haven't watched.
I still got like 7 more episodes of Fallout to get through, but I could do it. I could do it.
Yeah. So, I guess it's time.
Yeah, fucking made it. Boom, boom. Movies, books, TV shows,
comics and stuff, comic books, graphic boom. Novels, vinyl records.
Waka 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 waka. Wow.
That's what you do with vinyl records. You scratch them.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. The movie that wasn't over in a flash, The Flash.
Oh man, more like 2 hours, in the pan.
47 minutes to find out that Ezra is what's his name? Ezra Williams?
Ezra Miller.
Yeah. He's super fast.
Yeah.
The Flash is like one of your favorites, right? Like you love The Flash.
What do you mean, as a character?
Yes.
Damn it, I don't know. I don't know. He's fine.
Like his logo. Yeah, I mean, but now I've never really been into speedsters, right? Like they're not my favorite types of superheroes.
I mean, Quicksilver is obviously not the coolest, so like no one cares. But the Flash is all right. He's fine. He has been like comic relief, but also like has a great cast of like he's a great rogues gallery. So I guess that's that accounts for something.
What, the Yellow Flash?
Reverse Flash is great. Whatever you want to call him, Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom, whatever.
Well,
yeah,
who
great.
Else is the Flash's fucking?
Slowpoke
Rodriguez, wasn't he one of them? Slowpoke Rodriguez.
What is that guy's name?
That's a goddamn fucking Tom and Jerry.
That's a terrible one. What Trickster? Let me see here. Was played by? I thought he was played by Mark Hamill in. In the Flash TV show. Who else is that guy? Captain Cold. Is his name Heat Wave? I just like to call him Heat Miser because I don't really care. Captain Boomerang, I think. These are all people.
No, I agree, right? But you're like, he has a fantastic fucking rogues gallery. And then you're like, he's got laundry divider, like that's one of them, right? Like he comes in and like fucks up all your laundry. That's the worst rogues gallery I've ever heard in my entire life. You're like
the freezy guy, Heat Miser.
Yeah, are you
the
talking about
the bicycle?
You talking about generic Gorilla Mr. Freed? Gorilla Grodd, get the fuck out of here.
Gorilla Grodd was great.
No, Gorilla Grodd is real, right? But I don't know. I'd almost put him in fucking. I guess he's more of a Justice League. Kind of rogue than not specifically.
No, not even close. Get out of here.
The Flash is so weak.
But yet he's been around for like forever. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't necessarily mean it's good though.
I mean, that kind of is what makes it good. If you as a comic book have been around since like the 1940s. That does mean that you've been pretty good, that you've been able to, you've got some longevity there.
I'm just going to point out that if you were alive in like 1886, right, you'd be like, what's Lincoln talk about? Fucking slavery's been around forever. We know it's good. That's why it's been
around. Oh, Jesus Christ. Did you just compare the Flash to slavery? Oh, God.
Yeah, I just compared you saying that something because it's old is good.
Just call him a Nazi or something. Jesus, yeah. We'll just go off the friggin' reservation
on
this one.
Isn't there a fucking thing where the Flash becomes a Nazi?
I don't know. That sounds like a thing you just made up.
That would make for a hell of a fucking comic, wouldn't it, though? Yeah, Superman becomes a communist in the USSR and Flash becomes a Nazi.
I thought Captain America became a fascist. He was in Hydra for a while, you know. I forget how that story turned out, you know.
Well, no, the Justice League definitely, that's the fucking Red Justice League or whatever. Remember when Superman's like fucking CCCP?
Oh, no, no, no. Red Sun? I don't think that was like that. Batman was a good guy. Wonder Woman was bad, but I forget why. I Green Lantern was in it somehow, but he wasn't that cool. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't. There wasn't like a.
We can all agree that Ezra Miller's a racist, though.
There wasn't like a Ruski League, you know.
No, there's a CCCP. There's a fucking Soviet Union Superman. That is Red Sun.
You're not talking. Yeah, that's the Red Sun. That's like a one-off. I don't know what
was
in that.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I don't know if there was a full-on like league, but all right.
Wasn't the entire Justice League in that? Like,
no, because Batman was in it, and Batman was in the Red Sun storyline, but he was like a revolutionary like character. He was against Superman. He wasn't, well, I mean,
Batman's kind of always borderline against Superman, right? Like, so that tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Where was Wonder Woman in this, though?
I think she was on the side of, Superman, I think.
Yeah,
but
for sure. Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, yeah.
Because they're always boning or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Who cares?
Always like love interests.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Anyways, so the Flash movie.
We watched the Flash.
No, we didn't. You did.
Yeah.
I made it through the first 5 minutes of it. I could not.
Here's the 2 minute long synopsis for a 144 minute movie. It is a very long winded but poorly done version of the Flashpoint storyline that had very few redeeming qualities. This is how bad the movie was.
But he's fast.
The most redeeming part of this movie was the film debut of the actress that played Supergirl. That's it.
The actress that played what?
Well, the actress that played Supergirl in The Flash.
Oh,
and also a Michael Keaton appearance, which is always fun.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's Batman, right? He was in there for 10 minutes.
A little more than 10 minutes, but yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But it's basically like a loosely interpreted version of the Flashpoint series, which was best done in the animated universe.
And that same Flashpoint was like multiple universes, right? Multiverse, right?
Well, the gist of the Flashpoint series was that he goes back in time. He decides like, you know, I'm going to save my mom from dying. So he goes back in time to save her from dying. Mm. She lives, but it changes the future. And in the future, there are all of these other unintended consequences. Like Bruce Wayne never happens. I think he dies in the alley, and instead Bruce Wayne's dad plays Batman. But he's also like a slightly worse version of Batman. Superman never really happens. The U.S. government captures him and hides him away from the sun. So they just do experiments on him. Amazon and Atlantis go to war against each other. Like, it's just this, it creates this paradox where like everything goes haywire and he has to try to like fix it. And I guess he kind of does, but they basically take that storyline and they kind of adapt it poorly. So instead of like they're still being heroes, he saves his mother, and what happens is there are no superheroes. So on this Earth, this is the worst part. It happens on the same planet. He just goes back in time, changes something.
Runs around the world really fast, just
like Superman when he flies around the world and then the world turns backwards.
Yeah, and that's like that's rewind on the Earth, right?
Not that was like, rewind on
yeah, right. Not instant death for everything on the planet, right? Because think about how fast the planet's fucking actually spinning. Yeah, right? So like if the world were to even, not even go backwards, but just stop abruptly, like, we would all fly off of it and die, right? Like, that's, if the world stopped spinning on its axis, right, we would all just die.
So, like, it's funny that, like, I guess, like, this is another take. This is another bad take on the multiverse theory.
Yeah.
So by making a change, you create a different timeline. We create a different parallel universe. It could be Earth, what the fuck ever. And so on this Earth, there are no heroes, but Zod still comes to Earth looking for Kryptonians because there's an escape pod from Krypton. It comes to Earth. He's looking for it. He wants Earth to just hand them over, whatever. So while they're trying to figure all this stuff out, and this is the other incredibly weirdly dumb part of this.
Right.
When he creates the new timeline, he goes to his parents' house, hangs out with his parents, and then that world's Barry Allen shows up for dinner, and he's apparently like this goofy college kid. So how does that happen?
Yeah, how does he become a different person?
Right? How does he become a different person? It should, so you know what I mean? So it creates this stupid paradox to begin with. So these two are like, all right, I know what I need to do. I need to find, where are the heroes? So they look around in a phone book. They try to find Arthur Curry. So they try to find like Aquaman's dad. They call him. He's not Aquaman's dad because in this world there's not. So there's just a corny comedy bit with what's his name? The guy from Tamura Morrison.
Boba Fett.
There's like a corny callback bit to that. Whatever. They like, all right, well, let's go to we'll go find my buddy Bruce Wayne. They go to find, like, they go to Wayne Manor or whatever, and it's this old decrepit place or whatever. They break in. It's all like dirty and dusty, and here's this long-haired, shaggy, like unkempt, you know, Bruce Wayne, Michael Keaton, who they have to like talk into. You can see that he still has like some ability to like fight and stuff because he's like fighting them off and whatever because they broke into his house. But it's also like the house is like fallen into like whatever kind of, you know, disrepair or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Disarray, which is also, doesn't make sense. It's like, well, there's no crime. So I used to be a crime fighter, but now there's really no crime. So you just became like a dirty hobo? Like,
so I just sit.
Sit around doing nothing. I'm just a dirty hobo. I'm not a playboy. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a philanthropist. I'm not anything. So like, you know, so they're like, all right, you know, we've got to find Superman. So they're like, I don't know. Maybe like this is they do some computer hackery, whatever. They find out there's a Russian base in like Siberia or whatever. They go to Siberia to like this base. They break into it. They find like this containment unit and they open it up and they go in and they save who's in there. They also find, I guess, a suit, like a Kryptonian suit. They take it with them. It's not Superman. It's Supergirl in this universe. What's his name? Kal-El. I don't think he makes it. I think he dies he dies escaping Krypton. But, Zor-El, I think it's Zor-El, you know, Supergirl, she survives and she's the one who's captured. So this all is like happening just as like Zod shows up. And this is like the quickest. This movie takes so freaking long just to get to this point. It is so just absurd how long this movie was just to get to this. So they get to a certain point. I forget how it works. They break into something, they do something, and Barry Allen, Ezra Miller, like, he finds out that, like, the whatever bizarro Barry Allen?
Sure.
Whatever, you know, he's the one that actually now has power. So he realizes he has power, but he's also a complete dumb fuck. So he's like running around doing stuff, and then he's running around town, but Barry's trying to like stop him, but he's also, now he has no power. So like he runs off before Barry can tell him that you can't go so fast in normal clothes. because just cotton will just, so he like ends up in the middle of the street, his clothes burn off, you've got to learn how to like be a superhero or whatever. So Barry's, so like, you know, I don't even know what Earth to call it, but like normal Barry Allen's like, I need to recreate this, I need to get my powers back. Yeah. So with the help of like Bruce Wayne in like Wayne Manor, they try to recreate the chemical experiment and the lightning strike or whatever. So like Supergirl helps do this because she helped, you know, because he helped her get out of, you know,
right, yeah, captivity. Out of prison, yeah,
get out of prison. So he helps her she helps him recreate this thing. It actually works. Now we've got two speedsters. And now we're going to like try to fight Zod. Well, it doesn't work. They capture Supergirl. They get blood from her, which is, I think, what they needed to like do something. I forget the gist of that part again because it's not relevant.
Right.
Batman gets killed. The speedsters are like, you know, they're not successful. So they start doing the time loop thing. We're like, I'm going to go back and do this again. We can make this work again. It doesn't work. Our Earth's Barry, whatever, the DCEU's Barry, yes, realizes that this is what's considered one of these, like, you know, this is one of these events in time that you can't change. There are certain events in time, apparently, that have to happen, I guess.
Yes, we've learned this from Doctor Who. It's called a fixed point in time.
So it's a fixed point in time. This is a fixed point in time. And this always happens, no matter how hard they try. Well, the other Barry is like, he won't quit. He's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. And in doing this, he kind of creates like, it creates like a negative Flash, a black Flash, whatever they call that, whatever they call this character.
Right.
And it becomes a, like, you know, just a like gross demonized version of like Flash. And they're like, I'm going to try to do it. So that they get to this point where they're like trying to like make this whole thing work. It doesn't work. And then like towards the end, there is just this weird, really poor CGI of other, I guess, multiverses. So it's just kind of these weird planets with some bubbles, but it's all unfortunately the same version of a character,
right?
And unfortunately in this it's Superman. So they show you like the old black and white TV show Superman, and then here's another one, and here's like the Nicolas Cage Superman. And but it's like they can, like, at some point, like, that Superman notices what's going on but does nothing, and it's just that character. And then there's the Christopher Reeve and the other, I can't remember her name, but she played the first Supergirl in the first, in the 80s.
Yeah.
They show them, and then they show like the Adam West Batman. So they never show a multiverse that has all the heroes, version of all the heroes. They just show a multiverse that has just one character, and it's all poorly done CGI. And it's kind of embarrassing because what was the point? And then I think Barry finally like stops this Black Flash version of himself from ruining everything, because he's like, he keeps trying to do it and it starts tearing the multiverse apart, because you keep doing resetting things or whatever, and it starts tearing everything apart. So he stops him, and then he's like, I did it. All right, now I'm going to like, now I'm back. And he's back in his, like, which version of it? He's back in a Earth version where he meets the Iris West, which is still the same character actor, thankfully. And he's like, all right, I'm going to call, like, my friend Bruce Wayne or whatever. Because in the beginning, he actually talks to Ben Affleck, and Ben Affleck's like, the Batfleck. And he's like, this is a terrible idea. You shouldn't do it. It's going to be disastrous. Whatever. He goes and does it anyway. So he gets out of this loop, and he's like, I'm going to talk to my buddy. And so he gets a call from Bruce Wayne. He's like, hey, I just, like, because I think at the end, he, like, some of this revolved around solving his dad's crime. Like, his dad was framed or whatever for, like, killing his mother, even though that's not what happened or whatever. So he, like, you know, Wayne Technologies or whatever helps him, like, solve and prove that, like, his dad didn't kill his mother. And so he gets his dad freed or whatever. He's like, cool. And then he gets a call from Bruce Wayne. He's like, hey, I saw what you did. Cool. Like, come over and meet me. And he goes over to meet him, and it's the George Clooney Batman.
Wah, wah.
And so it's like this incredibly, like, kind of hokey. So you get to this end, and it's just like, oh, I fixed it, but I didn't fix it. Because I did the timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly thing.
Yes.
So, like, there are these interesting,
and that's how it ends?
That's it.
Oh, fuck that. I'm done.
So, 2 hours, and it's like 2.5 hours, and at the end, it's just, like, this hokey ending where, like, I don't know what the point of it is. Like, it's definitely not resetting the DCEU, because if you were, you're saying that George Clooney is your Batman.
Yeah, right.
So, and then like at some point, I think like Ezra Miller's tooth gets knocked out at some point during all of the thing in some part of the movie. And at the end, they call back to it and his tooth falls out. And it's like this weird comedy bit. And it's like, well, what was the point of all this?
I don't think, like, there was a point. Like, that's why the movie got, like, fucking sidelined a bunch, right? And then...
Oh, yeah.
The DCU EU does that a lot, where it's just fucking... It sidelines a project, then it's just like, just fucking whatever. Whatever right. we got, just do whatever we got, and let's call it a day.
But it was so brutal. I'm
still probably never going to see that movie.
No, don't. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Wait until... You can go to YouTube and probably find, like, like I said, the highlights, where it's just some of the more fun stuff. Like I said, the best part of this was the portrayal of Supergirl in this. She was great. Like, it was kind of, that was how, like, she comes out. She's super mad at humanity. They have to talk her down and make her understand, like, that's, it's not, you know, it's whatever.
It's just the Russians.
Right, whatever. But she's also, like, it's a super cool version of, like, Supergirl. And then there are versions of this where, like, you know, Supergirl comes to Earth and Superman and Batman have to figure out, like, is she good? Is she bad? What's the deal?
Right, so, right, like, right.
That was besides, like, a fleeting, fun Michael Keaton Batman, she was the only other redeeming quality. None of the Flash stuff was any good.
Yeah.
Right? It just wasn't. It was really dumb. It was really comedic. The whole point of the movie, it solved nothing. Like, it got us nowhere. There was a ton of really dumb CGI that had no place in this at all. Like, there's no need to, like, resurrect, like, the Nicolas Cage Superman that never happened.
Right.
Just to throw it in. Because, like, once again, if you're going to show me a bunch of multiverses that may collide, show me all the heroes from those multiverses. Don't just show me one-off characters that were, like, that are just like, hey, here's a historical list of the guys that played Superman. No one cares.
Yeah.
Right. It's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything to the story. It adds nothing. And all it does is make you look dumb for having done it. So it was just like, you know, I suffered so that you don't have to. It was a brutal, brutal thing to watch. It was, you know, it's no wonder it lost money. It's just, oh my God, if I had to rate this 1 out of 10, like 1 out of 10, it's getting like a 1. Like, it's not good.
Like, that's amazing. You could have watched Tremors. You could have, like, watched 2 episodes of Shogun, right? Like, you could have, there's a lot of things you could have did. But speaking of time, that's all the time we have for today. As always, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for hanging out. Tell us what we should cover next. Should we do Shogun? Should we do Fallout? Should we do something totally different?
Something else.
Something we don't know about. Could be something cool. Right? Like, odds are it's basic white cotton panties, but then I start thinking,
Is it Reacher season 2?
It's probably not. It's probably, you love that. You love that Reacher. You love that Jack Reacher so much. That's all. Like, I don't even have a witty fucking thing for that.
There's nothing. So. That's it. I killed it. I killed it dead. All right. Deuces.